Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about an interesting word called pignoration. But we're not going to start off with pignoration. We're going to end up with pignoration. And it's actually a word that's been around for an awful long time, all the way back to the Roman Empire. And it is representative of an entire system that brings the world into bondage, makes slaves of men, makes men into human resources, makes them merchandise. And it's really what the book Covenants of the Gods, which is free on our website, is all about. Is about pignoration from one point of view. Yet the word is never mentioned in there once, because I didn't know about the word. Actually, I knew about pignus, which is a Latin word, which means to pledge or to hypothecate. But I was using the word hypothecate instead of pignoration, which is the result of a pignorative contract, which it can be a constructive contract based on hypothecation based upon your acts, which are usually applications for benefits. But I just recently stumbled on the word, and we've had so much fun with that word, because America has become a pig nation. That's right, a pig nation, which is the result of pignoration, which is the result of millions upon millions of pignorative contracts, which I know you don't know what that means. That's why we're not going to start explaining in any kind of detail what pignoration is. We're going to go back to the Bible, because they were having the same problem back then, because history does repeat itself. And if you were to actually understand what the gospel of the kingdom was really all about and act according to what they were trying to tell you you needed to do to be free, you would be a free people today. But you're not, because you didn't, because you don't know what it means, because men have been spreading amongst you damnable heresies, and those damnable heresies have misled you about all sorts of things, just layer upon layer upon layer of things, which is really good for me, because it gives me lots of topics to talk about on the radio. So here we go. In 2 Peter 2:1 starts off, "But there were false prophets also amongst the people." Interesting how a chapter begins with the word "but." You almost need to read the first chapter in order to understand what the second chapter is all about. But most of you wouldn't understand the first chapter, because you've already lived several chapters in your mind as to what you think the Bible is all about. You probably think religion is about what you believe. And I don't blame you for thinking that that's what religion is about. Because if you looked up the word religion in the dictionary, it would say religion is a set of beliefs. In 2013, the dictionary actually says it's a set of beliefs about a superhuman agent or agency that may have created the universe and be the cause of the universe. It's a set of beliefs. That's what they say it is. But 100 years ago, it was not defined that way. Religion was defined as your acts, what you do. Actually, what you do. And see, they had to change the meaning of the word religion in order to spread their damnable heresies as false prophets, which is what most of your ministers today are. And I just had kind of a go-around with an old friend who I love dearly, who is trapped in the walls of one of these damnable heresies. He is under a set of mind controls, and he is defending them, unfortunately, and hopefully not, to his death and destruction. Because In 2 Peter 2:1, it goes off and says, "But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And of course, that's what they do. Of course, they believe that they are speaking the truth. In reality, they are not, but they believe they are. And it's part of that strong delusion, that fortress of their mind. They've accepted certain ideas, and that's that. You can't tell them otherwise. But, you know, this word, Lord, what word do you think that is that they use there to be translated into Lord? Is it the normal words that you would see translated into Lord? No. No, it's not, actually. It only appears 10 times in the Bible. It's despotis. It's where you get the word despot, which is actually, some believe it's from the word deo, to bind or to tie. But it's mixed with the word posis, which means a husband, the bind of a husband. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean Lord like in ruler, but denying the husband nature, the father nature of God. And they were bought and bring them upon them this swift destruction, and even the word destruction, apolia. You know, what does that really mean? What do they really talk about? Perdition, destruction, waste. That's the definition: destroying, under destruction, perishing, ruin, etc. Well, many of us look out in the economy today, and we see the country headed for destruction. And this is where it's coming from. It's because of these damnable heresies, these false teachings that people are bringing in. And one of them, of course, is this definition of religion. I've just done 3 shows on this definition of religion, showing you that if you go back to one dictionary, it's, you know, the present dictionary says it's what you believe about the superhuman creator. And you, it may have a system of codes or moral guidelines or not, but that's not important. It's just this belief in this superhuman. And that's what most of the people think, but they don't even use the word God or gods. If you go back 100 years, they use the words God or gods, but it's what you actually do in order to serve this superhuman God or gods. And that's religion. If you go back another 100 years, you know, to 1813, the definition in Lake Bouvier's, which is connected to the Constitution of the United States, it's specifically what you do in performance of your duty to God and your fellow man, and your fellow man. If you're not fulfilling your duty to your fellow man, you're not practicing religion, because religion was fulfilling your duty to your fellow man, which according to Christ was to love your neighbor as yourself. According to Moses was to love your neighbor as yourself. According to God, it was to love your neighbor as yourself. That is your duty. That was religion. How you did that was religion. Not what you sing or say, or the incense that you burn, or the candles that you light, or the churches that you go to. That's not religion. Religion was specifically how you performed your duty, your pious duty. Pious duty, piety had to do with your duty to your father and your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's what religion was how you did that. Well, how do you do that? Today you do that in pernicious ways. That's right. You do that in pernicious ways, which is why you're under destruction. That's why you're headed for destruction. And there's 100 different levels that we could talk about this. I mean, the sun just had some unbelievable activities in our solar system just yesterday. Over 15 hours, radiation levels that are normally coming from the sun were up in the red. I mean, they went past yellow, and they were high up in the red area. And there didn't seem to be any solar flare that corresponded to that arrival of energy. And as there was no fluctuation in what they call the proton flux. Electron flux, yes, it was going off the scale, but proton flux was just flatline. So what was going on yesterday and part of today, all through the night? Well, actually, we've been hit by numerous gravity waves in the last week. It's triggered earthquakes all over, and nobody seems to know where they're coming from, although there are some theories about it. Is that we're actually traveling, this whole planet, and this whole solar system is actually traveling through space at thousands of miles an hour. And it's traveling to an area of space where there are lines, gravity waves, and it's having an effect on our planet. And we're just touching the tip of that iceberg. And we're seeing some of the results of that. But even if you don't understand all that destruction that might be coming to our present system, you can look out at the economy. You can look out at politics. You can look out at the bureaucracies of government. But most of you don't look out that. You just, you know, you kind of watch the TV. So that destruction is coming. It's coming for one reason only. It's because of the same problem that has come up generation after generation, century after century, age upon age. These pernicious ways become predominant amongst the people. And what are those ways? Well, verse 3 tells us. Verse 3 of this 2 Peter chapter 2, he tells us. It's not a secret. It's been around for a long time. It says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, this has been coming for a long time. This has been a process, been on its way for a long time. It's come, it had heights in the past, but never more than today. Now, what is covetousness? Covetousness is desiring something that belongs to your neighbor, to somebody else. You want something that is the property of your neighbors to benefit you. And you think that's okay. Now, it says in the Bible in the Ten Commandments, which are not the law. That's not the law. Paul never does away with the Ten Commandments. He talks about nomos. The word for commandments that Paul uses is entole. So entole is not done away with. And even Paul even lists off the commandments that if you don't, or if you're not keeping the commandments, you don't have any place in the kingdom. So whatever he's preaching, you got to keep the commandments or you're out. That's it. But, you know, if you read John and everything, they say that if you really do love Christ, which people claim they do, you will keep the commandments. It doesn't say you might keep the commandments. You might find them easier to keep. It says you will keep them if you love Christ. And we know you love Christ by the fact that you're keeping the commandments. And one of those commandments is thou shalt not covet. Another one is thou shalt not bear false witness, which would include not bearing false witness about what you covet. If you send your kids to public school, you desire your neighbor to pay for your child's education because what you pay in isn't going to be enough to cover the cost of your child. It's not going to cover that expense. Somebody else who has no children whatsoever or has no children in school, maybe homeschoolers or whatever, they're going to have to pick up the bill for your child. That's coveting. You can call it anything you want, but that's coming. You desire your neighbor to pay for what you have. Now let's go on to other things. Healthcare. Fire department. You want to be safe from fires. So instead of creating a volunteer fire department, you put it on the tax rolls and make all your neighbors pay in a fair share so that you have fire insurance. And it's a good idea to have this fire truck and these firemen. That's a great idea. But you want to make your neighbor pay for it. That's coveting. And because you want that, you are made merchandise. This word merchandise, you're a human resource. You belong to somebody else, which is what pigneration is all about. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with overthrowing, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous men dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness, soul from day to day, with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Okay, how does he deliver the godly out of the temptation? Well, he puts it on your heart that you don't want to covet your neighbor's goods. This is when you believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you'll think that's perfectly okay. You see, and this is the rub, that these people who think they believe in Jesus but still covet their neighbor's goods, according to John, that's evidence that they don't really believe in Jesus, because they're not keeping the commandments. The evidence that you believe in Jesus is that you will keep the commandments. As many as love me will keep my commandments. That's it. That's the way it works. And unfortunately, most people don't really love Jesus. They don't love Christ, this anointing, this character of God, this character of what the modern definitions refer to as this superhuman agent of creation. They don't know him. They don't love him. They don't want to have anything to do with him. They do want to have something to do with these false prophets who bring in these damnable heresies and say you're saved just because you think a thought. You can save yourself by saying these magic words. You can save yourself by believing an idea. Just believing an idea. And they say, "Oh, well, you don't preach the cross," they tell me. And the law was nailed to the cross. What was nailed to the cross? Well, Jesus was nailed to the cross. Okay. What else was nailed to the cross? A proclamation of Rome that said, "Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King." So now whose law do you have to obey? Herod's or Jesus Christ? Well, if you got the baptism of Jesus Christ, you were cast out of the system of Herod's that was based on covetousness. And you were in another system. And this is the ones that Paul was writing to when he says, "My brother." And he's talking to people who were not a part of the system of Herod, their system of social welfare that exercised authority one over the other, something Christ said you were not to do. They were a part of a system that was operating by faith, hope, and charity, a system that was not covetousness. And we can show you time and time again, this is where Moses was leading people. This is where Christ was leading people. This is what John the Baptist was talking about. This is what all the apostles and prophets were talking about. But these other false prophets say, don't look at that. Just believe in Jesus. The problem is that their plan, their way, has brought you under pigneration. Have brought you face to face with a pignorative contract that has brought you back into bondage and made you merchandise. He goes on to say, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." Despise government? So we shouldn't despise government. Except for that word government, it's not translated government anywhere else in the Bible. Only here. At other places, it's dominion. Who has dominion on this planet? Don't you have dominion? I have dominion. I have dominion over me. And don't you have dominion over you? And if you have dominion, you don't despise that. Would you sell your right to rule your own heart and mind and body to someone else for a price, for a benefit. A benefit would be a price. Greatest destroyers of freedoms are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Have you been selling yourself for benefits? Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They don't even know what they're doing. Do you know what you're doing? Are you part of a system that covets your neighbor's goods? You know, if you guys came together with love, you could do all the, provide all the benefits of government through faith, hope, and charity at a fraction of the cost and more efficiently. And this is what Christians were doing. Real Christians were doing that. And when Paul says, my brethren, he was talking to people who were doing that. And that's just a matter of historical record. We've written books on it. We show people. We quote the people of the time. And I'll do that in the second half of the show. I'll quote some of the people who actually tell you what the church was doing long before Constantine came and created his church, which is what most of the people belong to, is the Church of Constantine, or some faction thereof. And even if you're not a Christian, you know, and I have an article coming out at newsviews.com. I have a bunch of articles there already. Just look for Brother Gregory. I think they have me as Brother Gregory Williams, and you can see those articles. They're all on our website. As a matter of fact, on our website, you know, I clean up a few of the typos. but anyway, the articles are talking about liberty and how you obtain liberty as a nation, which is the opposite of how you obtain bondage in the Pignoration nation that is under the gods of the world. I know a lot of this goes over your head, but let's get down to the simple stuff. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. These people who are coveting their neighbor's goods, they're going to receive the reward of unrighteousness, the unrighteous mammon, which will fail. They're going to get their benefits from the unrighteous mammon, but that unrighteous mammon is going to let them down because it's based on covetousness. And you are giving power to men who don't really love you to exercise authority one over the other. And that's where your destruction is coming from. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed children. That's right. Because, see, all those systems of social welfare through covetousness have become bankrupt. So anybody who takes $1 of benefits from those systems are not taking it from what they paid in, because that's not there no more. They're taking it from what their children are going to have to pay in. They're holding a gun to the agency of their governments, to their son's head, and their son's son's head, and their son's son's head. And in this case, what I fell on thinking about, if he's gone to listen to the program, to his granddaughter's head. That they're going to have to pay in, and pay in, and pay in, and pay in, and pay in, to take care of his social welfare. Because the system he ascribes to, sought, builds every day when he goes to work, is a system of Corbin that makes the word of God to none effect. This is what Christ talked about. That's powerful, making the word of God to none effect. How did it do that? It was a system of sacrifice in Corbin. And we have an article, go look up Corbin on our website at hisholychurch.org, and it will explain it in detail. Peter goes on to talk about which have forsaken the right way, which all these people say they believe in Jesus. They're not going the way Jesus said. They just say they believe in Jesus. They're not doing what he said. They don't think you have to do it, because they think religion is belief. Religion is doing. That's why Jesus says, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. But he says, oh, that's all been done away with because Paul had a secret gospel. I mean, it just gets totally bizarre listening to this one individual. Totally bizarre. But if we go back to what Christ said, and don't take Paul's gospel out of the context of Christ, which was also a mystery. Christ's gospel is a mystery. It's a mystery to most people still to this day. But it's really very simple. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What are the wages of unrighteousness? The benefits of a system based on covetousness. Amazing. That's the wages of unrighteousness. The benefits of a system based on coveting your neighbor's goods. Through the agency of a government that can exercise authority one over the other and force the contributions of the people rather than live by faith and hope and charity. You see, that's why you're in bondage today. And we just did, you know, I think this is program 10 on the subject of Christianity and what it is. And we keep going back to some of the same things, but I'm adding new things and a little bit different angles every time so you can walk all the way around this gigantic elephant that is destroying your society, sitting right there in the midst of you that everybody keeps overlooking. They think, oh, we return to the Constitution. Oh, we, you know, if we could just change the holder, change the president, change whatever, everything would be okay. No, it won't. Not unless you change. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is everybody doesn't have to change. Just some of you have to change. But when you change, you have to come together. Because it's wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there also I am. And in my name means in my way. According to what I am. How I function. Which I come to serve, not to be served. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds are carried with the tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. These philosophies that people teach in place of the simple gospel of Christ of loving one another and loving the Creator, which is this creative power that gives life. In other words, you have to love to give life and love your neighbor's life as much as you love your own. And do that love in an active, proactive way that is righteous, not covetous, not based on force, not based on iniquity. And we'll talk more about this pig narration that has brought you into bondage and the swelling words that you have been suckered into believing when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Okay, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about pig narration, and I've been holding you a little bit in suspense about that, but I'm still going to read a little bit more of Peter, and you know, I could take almost any book of the Bible, any epistle, and I could bring you back to the same thing, because they're really all talking about the same thing. Peter just says it a little bit different than you hear a lot of people, and he's a little clearer than Paul. But even Peter warns you that Paul is going to talk to you about things that are hard to understand. Most people who read Paul don't understand what he's talking about. But I don't blame them because people are redefining words. And so that you think religion is what you believe and it's not. It's what you do. That's what it meant at the time the Constitution was written. And the fact is they are establishing laws that establish religion because they establish laws that make you contribute to the welfare of the needy of your society. That's religion. That's how you, pure religion, according to James, in the Bible, is how you take care of the needy of your society. And it's only pure if you do it unspotted by the world, the constitutional order or system of government. That's what word he uses there. That means government. And so you had to take care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. And if you were taking care of all the needy through faith, hope, and charity, you would probably still be free today. But the churches have gotten out of that business. and into just believe business. And it's led the whole world to this brink of destruction. And of course, Peter is talking about that. And in verse 18 of this 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity," you know, greatest nation in the world, you know, on and on and on and on, "they allure through the lust of the flesh," through the benefits you want, "through much wantonness." That's what he's saying. He's saying this. You think he was standing behind me. "Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." That's the Christians. That's those people that Paul was writing to, my brethren. They were free. They were free from those systems because they created their own system of faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. They didn't have to pay in to the pignorations of those temples because they were children of God. They were believers in Jesus Christ. They said there is another king, one Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying. That's who Paul's, you know, and of course people are going to say, well, Paul was a Roman citizen. No, we cover that. It takes 2 hours to cover that. We got a booklet that covers that. But anyway, he goes on, "while they promise them liberty." Ever hear of that? Anybody ever promise you liberty? "They themselves are servants of corruption." What kind of corruption? Covetousness. "For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage." And that's where people are, because they are coveted. They're back into bondage again. They're not in free nations. Australia, America, Canada, those aren't free nations. You're heavily in bondage and all those, and you're in debt, which is an essential part of pignoration. "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world," what world is that? That's the word for constitutional order or system of government. That's what that word means. See, if they change the definition so you think he's talking about the planet, the pollution of the planet, is that what he's talking about? The pollution of the world, he says, not the pollution of the planet. "Escape the pollution of the world." Here's the definition right out of your concordance of that word. They have five different words they translate into world, so I admit that it's going to bring you a certain amount of confusion. This word is almost always translated world, but it actually means, this is the definition right out of theirs, right out of an online Bible concordance anybody can look up, "an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government." The pollution of the world, the pollution of government. What kind of government? The government that exercise authority one over the other and make you merchandise, make you human resources, make you collateral for their debt. And how were they escaped from the pollution of the world? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said what? "If you want eternal life, keep the commandments." That's the knowledge they're talking about. Not some secret knowledge that only was revealed to Paul. It's the gospel of Christ. They, because they were escaped and they returned to these ways of covetousness, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And that's exactly where you are today, because you haven't been following the gospel of Christ, which is also the gospel of Moses, which is also the gospel of Abraham and all the prophets from the beginning. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." What commandment is that? Love God, love thy neighbor as thyself. Is it loving your neighbor to send agencies to your neighbor's house to kick in their door, to force them to contribute to your free education of your children? And if they refuse to, then take their house away and sell it to somebody else. That's what you're doing. It happens daily. And not just on that level, but all these different levels where you have this extreme wantonness of benefits at the expense of your neighbor. All covetousness, all not keeping the commandments, all not leading to eternal life, but to destruction. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow, the pig, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And now we're at the pig narration. So what is pig narration? Okay. Now, of course, this word pig narration really doesn't come from the word pig. Although, I don't know, I haven't researched it yet. Maybe the word pig comes from this word. But it comes from the Latin word pignus, which has to do with a pledge. Actually, I think I have that definition. Oh, yeah, it's right here in Black's. You'd be amazed at how much. Black's Law Dictionary is one of the law dictionaries used by lawyers throughout the United States and even Great Britain. As a matter of fact, you know, if you look this in the beginning of your Black's Law Dictionary, it goes back to the kings of Great Britain. They're still regulating the bar. They're regulating your law a lot more than you think. You didn't win as much as you think you did in the American Revolution. Anyway, pignus in the civil law. It's a pledge or a pawn, a delivery of a thing to a creditor as security for a debt. That's you. You're the pignus. You have been delivered as a security for debt. Your property is all security for debt. That's been, if you read our law versus legal in the covenants of the God, that's what's happened, is that you are, your land is hypothecated into a system where you don't own it. And Congress has even come out and said no one owns the land but the government. They're the ones that own it. And of course the government's in debt, so whoever they're in debt to, they own it. You don't own it. So how can you ask God to protect you on your land when you don't own it? You're regulated. You don't own your car, you don't own your land, you don't own your children because of this pig narration. Pig narratio is the Latin in the civil law, the contract of pledge, and also the obligation of such a contract. Pignorative contract. In the civil law, a contract of pledge, hypothecation, or mortgage of realty. What the pig narration goes on, if you go read it in Black's, pig narration, not in Black's, but in, and actually I probably have that here too. I can maybe pull that up for you and read it direct so that you don't have to take my word for it. You can actually see the actual definition of these words as they are written down in the law and in law books. Because see, you thought probably at the beginning of the show, you thought religion was what you believe, but that's not the original definition. It's not the definition at the time of the Constitution. It's not the definition at the time of Christ. The time of Christ, religion was how you took care of the needy of your society. So, you know, if your church is not taking care of the social welfare of its members, that's not a church of religion. That's just a superstition church. That's just trying to make you feel comfortable about certain ideas that you have in your head. Pig narration. The word is used by Justinian in the title of the 52nd novel and signifies not only a pledge of property, but an engagement of the person. In other words, if you were just hypothecating the right of your property, then you would just be landless, but you would still be free. If you're hypothecating the title to your car, you would just not be without a vehicle of your own, but you would still be free. But pig narration actually engages the person himself. And this is why the Bible goes on and say that God is not a respecter of persons. God is not going to bind you to him. You must choose daily to do what God wants you to do. And I could get into this in far greater depth. And we can get into the spiritual side. And we often do that on this show. But it may distract. But this pignorative contract, this contract by which an owner of an estate engages it to another for a sum of money or benefits and grants to him and his successors the right to enjoy it. In other words, you don't have the right of enjoyment of property. Is called in law the use of that property. Like you go out and buy a house for $400,000. Did you buy the use of that property? Did you buy the right to enjoy that property? No, you haven't. According to the law, you don't own it. You have an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. I'm reading the definition right out of the law books. Legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. Beneficial interest is the right to use it, enjoy it. You want to use it and enjoy it, you have to pay rent for that. And that, we call that an excise tax, a tax on the use, because you don't own the use. God wanted you to live in a nation where you own the use of your own land. It belonged to you. You held the dominion over the land of the nation. Individually, and every family owned your land. Could not be taxed. Well, in such a society where you could not tax a man's labor, his land, his children, how does such a society work? You got it. The perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity. But you're out of practice. You don't know how to live together according to the perfect law of liberty. I had somebody who was getting onto the network, and they were contacting one of the contact ministers and going back and forth with endless statements of talking about philosophies and theologies and all this stuff, which we don't mind talking about that. But they constantly wanted to know what this network could do for them. They wanted, and he understood that they wanted fellowship. But they were kind of spread out. She was a little farther away than some. But it's growing. But it's not going to grow if you come and say, what's the network going to do for me? You got to come, what can I do for the network? You see, different spirit. If you don't have that spirit of service to others, then you don't have the spirit of Christ. If you don't have the spirit of Christ, there can only be one reason for that. Christ is not dwelling in you. And you don't really believe in Christ. You believe in the world. Because the world comes together for what they can get out of it. People go to church I love that church. It makes me feel so good. Now the churches have to have bigger screen TVs and more music and a better sound system. Because they really have to work at making you feel good so that you come. Because you're coming there because it makes you feel good. It always makes me feel so good to go to church. Why don't you go to church to make others feel good? And of course, you have to be careful with that. Well, we don't want to feel good. We want them to be good. Now, nobody's good but God, but even Christ says that. But Jesus said strive. So if Paul says just believe, striving was wrong. You don't have to strive. You just have to believe. No, Paul didn't disagree with that. Paul's talking to people that were striving. And he's saying, keep believing what you believe in. The brethren that are keep doing and taking care of one another. The early church was the entire social welfare system for Christians in a world gone mad with socialism. Half the people in Rome were on the government dole during Augustus Caesar, during periods of Augustus Caesar's rule. Half of the people were getting free bread regularly. And medical care through service. They were getting medical care. Why were Christians persecuted? Because they didn't join those systems. Because they couldn't make any law accepting the establishment of religion. Of course, they eventually did. Under one of the emperors, he outlawed private religion, which is what Christianity was a private religion. It was a private way to take care of the needy of your society. It wasn't a public way. It wasn't a system based on forced contributions. It was a system based on faith, hope, and charity, and love. If you don't do that, you're on your way to destruction. That's all there is to it. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, I quoted in a show earlier today talking about what they were doing. You know, this word religion from threskia. Actually, it comes from a word therep, which is where you get the word therapy or therapeutic. And it means to serve, to heal, to attend. That's what religion meant. It doesn't mean philosophize. It doesn't mean believe. Although you have to believe that in serving others, that you, by giving up your life for others, you will obtain life more abundant. That's a quantum equation that it works throughout the universe. You give up your life out of love, you will have life more abundant. That is, that will begin to work in your society and change the nature of reality for you and for yours. But anyway, this emperor, Septimus Severus, passed a law that outlawed foreign religion, and Christianity was a foreign religion. It wasn't a part. My kingdom is not of your world, of your constitutional order or system of government. So the religion that Christ was preaching, the system of government, the church is one form of government by which our religion is based on faith, hope, and charity. He outlawed it. He outlawed foreign religions. And so this opened the door to rulers in, like Saturninus, who was a proconsul at one time, but he was ruler in North Africa. Vigilius Saturninus, about 180 CE. He said, we too are religious, and our religion is simple, and we swear by the genius of our Lord, the Emperor, and we apply for his benefits, as you also ought to do. This is what he meant by religious. Where you get your benefits. Who's going to take care of you? Who's your daddy? And he's saying you should apply for those benefits. That means you should register at those temples. And like the temple of Saturninus, which happens to be the same name as this guy, that's where you registered your birth certificates so that you would be eligible for benefits. Except for those benefits were supplied by men who exercise authority and take away from your neighbor. That's covetousness, to desire those benefits. And the Christians couldn't do that. Christ said not to do it. Paul said not to do it. And they weren't doing it. And he's one of the men he was on trial, we actually have the words from that trial. I know not the genius of the emperor. Of this world, this constitutional order or system of government, but I serve the God of heaven, whom no mortal man hath ever seen. I never committed any crime punishable by the laws of the state. I pay the public duties for whatever I buy, the sales tax. It was sales tax then. Acknowledge the emperor for my temporal lord, but I alone, I adore none but my God, who is the King of Kings and Sovereign Lord. Was he asking him to adore the emperor? No, he wanted him to be a participant in their social welfare Corban. Romans had Corban too. And that's what Corban meant. And it is one of the best kept secrets, but the evidence of it is unmistakable. Corban was a social welfare system, which is why Paul says, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. Quoting David, this is the theme from the beginning of the Bible to the end. How do you take care of the needy of your society? By force or by free will offerings? If you do it by free will offerings, you will be free. If you do it by force, you will be in bondage. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's quantum. It's the way it's going to be. And Christianity was about those people gathering together who wanted to live by faith, hope, and charity so that they could be free souls under God of heaven, which is an interpersonal relationship between you and your creator, the creative force of the universe. I don't care what name you call him. But the evidence that you want to be a servant of that God of life is that you come together for the purposes of giving life to others. Yeah, and the reason we got on this whole subject for the last three, four shows that I do on other networks, and we'll make available to everybody eventually, is because News Views, and I won't mention all the people that have been contacting me in the last couple of weeks about supporting their efforts to return to the ways of freedom in this country, because they see the freedoms going away rapidly, which is just the symptoms of a problem that goes back to this socialist mindset of coveting your neighbor's goods. But they didn't want to hear anything about religion. And I understand they didn't know what religion means. And so I looked it up. And today, religion is defined as what you believe. Yesterday, it was defined as what you do. And specifically, in the Bible's case and in the time of the Constitution, it's what you do to fulfill your obligation to love your neighbor as yourself. You can believe anything you darn well please, but if you don't do that, then you don't believe in Christ. You don't believe in God the Father. You don't believe in Abraham or Brahmana. Same guy, believe it or not. I mean, you look at the religion, the Brahmins of Hindus, which is also the same God that they reach back to in the case of Buddha, because Buddha was a Brahmin priest. That's Abraham. He was married to his sister, Sarivista, and he had a second wife who was a princess of Egypt named Gahagi. That's Haggai. And Sarah. Same guy. What he wrote, that's Abraham. What he wrote. We explain all that in the book, Thy Kingdom Come, and show you the references, hundreds and hundreds of footnotes to show you, because I know this is hard for you to believe. But unless you turn around and see this, it's simple. It's simple. The kingdom of God is simple. Now, I will admit we've done a huge amount of work to show you how you can create a society today, if it's in your heart, gather together in a way that you remain free. That you don't go under any obligation, and that you move steadily towards a state of mind and spirit and body that will set you free. I cannot make this pig narration, this indenture, this liability go away, but it will go away. Unfortunately, many of you will go away at the same time, because there are all kinds of things in the offing that are going on behind the scenes today that are just unbelievable. I mean, it's the stuff movies are made out of. And they actually are making movies about it. You'll see it, because deep down in your subconscious, in your collective subconscious, you know what I say is true. You cannot be free till you set your neighbor free. And you're not setting your neighbor free unless you find an alternative to forcing him to contribute to your welfare. And that's what Christ was preaching. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God in your heart and your mind, and to gather together as free souls under God in a free assembly, not even an association, in a free assembly that lives by faith, hope, and charity. You don't need to buy insurance. You don't need health care. You have each other. Boy, that's going to take a lot of forgiving, which is why Christ talks about forgiving as much as he talks about giving. If you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. So anyway, we're at the end of another program. And I want to thank you all for listening. And go to our website and see what else we have to tell you that you've never heard anywhere else. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.